could just turn it around and I'll speak back here so I don't have to look at anybody.
Are we that ugly?
No.
Oh, that's not a good way to start. They realize it. Only our pastor would do
that. Oh, well. There we go. All right. Well, good evening. I'm really excited to share with you all today. You may or may not know. You probably do. It didn't work out a few weeks ago. The weather just was, you know, not cooperating, and it was a little nerve-wracking, so I just decided to hold off a little bit. And so I'm really thankful that I'm able to share with you all now. And as Pastor Lynn said, I'm Emily Henry, and I am with World Gospel Mission. And that's stationed in Marion, Indiana. And I just wanted to share a little bit about my testimony and things like that so we can kind of get to know each other a little bit better, hopefully. And so I grew up in Port Allegheny, and it's not as terrible as Pastor Lynn was saying that it was. And as you know, small town, and I have an older brother and older sister, and my parents are here with me. A lot of times I travel with my entourage, you know, and that's usually them. It's my parents, and they come and support me in that way. And anyway, I grew up in the Christian home and everything. And, you know, when I hit high school, I became a Christian at a young age. I was baptized when I was 7, and when I hit high school, I was kind of like, ugh, what do I do with my life? You know, what's my purpose? What do I want to do? And I had so many different, like, just directions that I wanted to go. I was like, oh, maybe I'll be this or that or whatever. And nothing really stuck. And that became frustrating because I'm like, man, I have so many interests and things like that. What do I do? And so I kept praying and kept seeking the Lord. And I went to college. I went to Edinburgh University, actually, and I graduated with a degree in English literature because I was really good at it in high school. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, something will come about there, because I still had no idea what I wanted to do. I had, like, just no purpose, I felt like. And so I was, again, I just kept getting frustrated. And I kept praying to the Lord, but then I just gave up. I was just like, fine, if you're not going to show me what I wanted, what you want me to do, what my purpose is here, then I'm done. I didn't stop believing in him. I couldn't come to that in my heart. I couldn't. I knew that he was there. But it was still just very frustrating. And so I graduated college, and I moved down to Texas. My sister is in Texas, and my brother's in Colorado Springs, and they both had the offer for me when I graduated college to, you know, come here, you know, come here, try to find a job or whatever. So I went to Texas, and I tried to find a job, and I couldn't find anything other than retail. And I'm like, I did not graduate with a degree in English literature to work at Kohl's the rest of my life. And so, not that Kohl's isn't, you know, wonderful, because I love Kohl's, you know, but I didn't want to work there, you know. And so I was like, I'm just going to go back to the beginning. I'm just going to go back to the beginning where it started, and I'll go home. Maybe something will hit. I'll wake up one day, and this is what I'm supposed to do. So I went back, moved back home, and it was a couple weeks later, I think. I was sleeping in, as usual, and my dad came in, and he's like, you know, if you're going to live here now, you need to come to church with us. And so I was like, okay. And it was a couple weeks after that I just, I don't remember the sermon or anything, but just the sermon really resonated in me, and I went to the altar, and I just gave my life over to the Lord. I was sick of it. I was sick of living my life the way that I wanted to live my life, and it wasn't getting me anywhere. And I just was like, Lord, my life is yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just please take over, and I just really want you to take control of my life. And it was about a year to the day after that I was called into missions. And through that whole year, I was really seeking him and really spending time with him and really studying the word and trying to make up for lost time. And God really used that in my life. You know, in Jeremiah, it says, when you seek me, I'll be there and I'll provide answers for you and provide you a purpose. And he did that within my life. And so it was a year after that, I was at a missions conference. And I was with, I was working with the teens in my youth group at my home church in East Smethport. United Christian is where I go. I was thinking, of course, you know, maybe the teens will get something out of this, you know. And I was the one who ended up to be blessed. And it was the woman who was speaking. It was just kind of, our lives were very similar. And she asked a lot of the same questions that I was asking. And I just felt like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be a missionary. And it was like the Lord was standing right next to me, and he just spoke into me, and that's what I was supposed to do. And I had a peace within me that literally passes all understanding. And I've never turned back. I know that that's what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, people continue to ask me what my passion is. And right now, sure, it's working with Native Americans, but you know what? My passion is following Jesus. And so that's what my life goal is to just be a follower of Jesus, making sure that I'm doing what he wants me to do and loving him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and body. And so, I was talking to a few different people doing my research. And anyway, long story short, I went to WGM, and I really felt like just through talking with different people, with different missionaries and things like that, the American Indian Field was where I needed to be at. And so I went there, and I was with went for like a mission vision trip is what it's called. And I went all over the place in New Mexico and Arizona, and the Navajo Reservation was really where I was supposed to be at. And God gave me that same peace when I was on the Navajo Res as he did when he called me to be a missionary. And so I had just come back. I just got back serving for 2 years there, and I've been home on HMA, which is Homeland Ministry Assignment, you know, raising furlough or whatever, and raising support. And so, yeah, I just finished up my 2 years, and I'm going to be a career missionary now. And so I'm planning on staying there and continuing on for as long as God calls me there. And that's my plan for right now. Of course, you know how it goes with the Lord, whatever he wants you to do. And so what I do on the American Indian Field is I work with another lady. I work with the Ambermans, Chris Ann Amberman, and we do after school programs with kids. That's our main part of ministry. And we pick the kids up after school, and we do we have snack and we do games, but most importantly, we do discipleship with them and just helping them to understand the Bible, to know who Jesus is, and to really understand what it is and what it means to follow Jesus, so that they can understand, you know, it's not an easy decision to make. That's not an easy decision for somebody to just change in their lives. And so we try to help them along in there. And you know what? Just relationship development is so important. And so that's our main key as well. And so just to help them, just to disciple them a little bit there. And a lot of our kids don't come from church backgrounds. They don't have a family that, you know, go to church at all. And so they don't know who Abraham is. They have no idea who Moses is. They don't know any of these stories. And so we kind of have to start from scratch in that aspect. And so that's what we try to do. And we go K through high schoolers there. So, and our groups vary. We have a lot of kids in our elementary groups. We have a lot of kids in there, and then it can get kind of rambunctious, of course, as for anybody that's been involved in kids ministry and know that you go through a lot of bottles of aspirin, but it's well worth it, I think. So we also have a ladies group that has been meeting since the summertime, and that's basically just ladies from the community getting together, and we just spend time together. We edify one another. We just lift each other up, and we just are there for one another. And a lot of them come from a history of abuse, so just different, lots of broken families and single moms and things like that. And just get together and learn. We learn how to cook, do crafts, just spend time together, and do like read books as well, then a little bit of Bible study too. And it's just a great time for them just to come together as ladies. And I think that we all know what that's like, ladies, just to spend time with one another and kind of get away from our everyday needs and just get together and be ladies together. So that's been going on as well. And I'm excited to get involved in that when I go back. I haven't been able to be involved in that since I've been on HMA, but I'm really anxious to get involved and just to be a part of it and have a different type of ministry in that aspect. We also have a home church that meets together as well, and that's every Sunday morning. And it's just a very small group of Navajos, and we have a pastor and his wife who've been on the field for about 40 years now, and very fluent in the Navajo language. We also read out of the Navajo Bible and then the English language Bible as well, and it's usually NIV. And we worship together in that way. We just kind of sit around and we talk about our life, we talk about our weeks, and we pray together, and we just talk about different things out of the Word of God. And it's kind of like a Bible study. It's not necessarily a structured church service. It's just get together and talk and discuss, and it's not intimidating. So they feel very free to just ask questions and to just share what's going on in their lives. And it's a really great opportunity for us to develop relationships with people in the community. And then we have a powwow drum as well, and that's how they like to do their worship music. And so that's how we worship the Lord in that way. And I know some of the language. I can sing some of the language or whatever, but I don't understand it. But that's how we like to. That's how they like to worship the Lord in their heart language. And then we just close in prayer, and then we get together and we eat afterwards. And that's I always love that part very much. You know, get together and we have fry bread, and it's a good time. A new thing that's been going on is a pastor's group. And I live in the Four Corner area, and I live in a place that's called Kirtland. And it's right, I know I'm telling you all these places, but just to give you a little bit better idea, Kirtland is really, really small. It's like the size of Port, I think, a little bit smaller than that, actually. And we have one stoplight. And but there's a lot of different churches in that area, and there's about 8 different pastors that Chris has started to communicate with and just try to get them together. And what we want to do is, since because we both have Anglos and Navajo people that go to these churches, we want to do community outreach. Because, you know, you have churches and they just kind of stay together to themselves. But if we work as a group, like the body of Christ is supposed to work as a group, then we can do so much more than just within our own congregations. We can do outreach and not just in Kirtland, but in Farmington, which is a little ways down the road and it's a little bit bigger. And then, but to Shiprock too, which is right on the res. So there's so many different opportunities when we work together. And that's been going extremely well. They've gotten together, the pastors have gotten together and golfed together and just in Bible studies. And we're doing an Easter sunrise service this year. And so that's exciting. And it is, it's about eight pastors, 8 from local churches to get together. And it's really, really exciting to see the Lord work in that way. And I'm anxious to see what doors that's going to open now that we're working together instead of behind our closed doors. As you know, it's all about, I mentioned this before, it's all about relationship building. And that takes a very long time. And I was sharing a little bit with Pastor and Joyce earlier that it takes about 10 years to disciple a Navajo person, especially an adult. And so we're not saving people every week. It just doesn't work like that. It takes a long time. And so when we're there, it's can be very frustrating, and it's extremely time consuming. And our ministry is literally 24/7. And so since it's all about relationship building and helping to build relationships. It's not just with the relationships with the kids that we have in after-school programs, but also with their parents. And so usually when we can get the kids to come in, it opens up the door for relationships with the parents. And so that's one of our challenges that we face as well. And some other ones are, we have a lot of cultural traditions that continue to go on that haven't changed too much over the years. So we have a lot of ceremonies that take place. Medicine men are still very much full in business, and alcoholism, all levels of abuse, mainly because of alcoholism, and then drugs and gangs as well. And so a lot of our kids come from homes that are broken, and maybe one or both parents have faced jail time, and a lot of them are raised by their grandparents or their aunts or uncles. And so a lot of our kids have very, very hard lives, and so it's difficult for them to make that type of decision to follow Christ when they don't have it back home. So we try to provide a safe environment for them, obviously, when we have them in our care just for an hour and a half, 2 hours a week. And so when we have to keep all that in mind, it is very much of a challenge. So God has shown me a lot over the past few years. I was called back in 2007, and it took me a long time to raise my support when I was first starting out, and then with the 2 years on the field. God has really shown me a lot throughout this whole journey, And it's funny, when I look back, one of the things that God shows me through just speaking with other people and just my devotions and my journaling and things like that, is that how I absolutely have to trust Jesus in every aspect of my life. And that has proven to be something that it's a lifestyle that we have to come to grips with in our lives, I think. It's not just opening up our Bibles every Sunday or just for 5 minutes every day. It's constantly, you know, turning our minds over to Jesus every single day. It's continually seeking his face and really just asking, what do you want me to do today? And then also asking him, hey, what's on your mind today? And that's one of the things that we try to encourage our kids to do as well, is to really just seek Jesus, really just pray. And I think that anymore, that's one of the things that we have to be so disciplined with. That's one of the things that I have to be so disciplined with, is just to make sure that I am following him, really trying to seek him with everything that I'm doing, and just to trust him in everything that I do. And that's a hard thing to do, is to let go. And when we have, a lot of times our kids, they're very family oriented, and also they're very since they have their culture as well, it's very structured, and they have a certain way that they have to do things. And I think that when they can see us living our lives in a certain way, it helps them to understand that, hey, I can do this too. I can let go. Give myself over to him and have him be in complete control. So I wanted to share a little bit about what, about some of the things, a testimony that happened to me last year. Just as a reminder, hopefully to all of you, that he's always with us. Our family was going through kind of a very rough time about a year and a half ago. And I think that we've all have times in our lives when it seems like it's never really going to be the same again. You know, certain things happen and you're just wondering, how am I ever going to get through this? And I remember I was talking to one of my parents on the phone. I don't remember, probably my dad. And I was sitting on my kitchen floor back in New Mexico, and I was just sobbing. And I was just beside myself, you know, what's going to happen? How are things going to be now? And I remember I had my knees up to my chest, and I remember looking across, and I could almost physically see Jesus just sitting there with me. And it was almost him reminding me that he's always with me, no matter what, no matter what I'm going through, and even when I'm not even thinking about him. And I could almost, I saw him, he reached over and he touched my knee. And it was like if I had reached out and placed my hand on top of my knee, I would have been able to feel his hand. And I hope that I never forget that, and I hope that that's an encouragement to you as well, just to remember that he is always, always here, no matter what. And so I hope that we remember that through Jesus that we can do anything, that we can move on, we can heal, we can forgive, and we can overcome, because he gives us the victory in all of those situations. We can love, we can move away from home, and all we have to do is just ask, and we can be strong when we don't feel like we have the strength, because Jesus already did it all for us. And I just really want to encourage you guys. I'm really excited that you're here tonight and you're listening and sitting here. I just really want to encourage you to never, ever, ever stop seeking the Lord. Always, just continually pray. He's always, always there for you guys. And those, you're going to come to parts in your to situations in your life where you're not sure what to do, and you're not sure what direction to take, and you're going to feel absolutely alone. And I want you to just remember that he's always there for you. Always. Never, ever forget that. It might seem something simple now. You know, you're probably sitting there and be like, I don't know. But he's always, always there. Just really want to encourage you guys to remember that. And we have a new life because Jesus gave us victory. And so that's my prayer for everybody, not just for the Navajo people, but to be overcomers and to be victorious. So I just wanted to open it up too now for just questions. Anybody have any questions about the Navajo people or more about what I do or anything like that? Pastor?
You had remarked about the fact that it really takes 10 years to disciple a Navajo.
Right.
And do you find that's that difficult because of tribalism?
Yeah.
Because they're kind of a closed people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we don't just have the tribal issues. We have, it's also a clan issue as well. So you have the Navajo group of people, but then they're also broken up into clans. And so you have a lot of different ways to do traditions. And I think that's, it's really hard to pinpoint the exact reason why it takes so long. But I think that when you have grown up with a certain reference and a certain, just a certain way of life and certain ways of doing things, and your family, you're very usually very, very involved in your family if you're a Navajo person, very, very close-knit. And so going in a completely different direction proves very difficult and very hard. And so to try to turn around and live a completely different life is really, really hard. But you know what? The Navajos that I've talked to and been able to spend some time with, their lives, when they hand their lives over to the Lord, it's miraculous. It's like 360. And they are just so on fire for the Lord. And God does amazing things through these people. And I just think that's because he wants to raise leaders within the Navajo community. And we especially need male leadership in our community as well, because it's a matriarchal society. And so the man takes the woman's name and they move into their house. And so that goes against biblical standards. And that makes it difficult as well. So, yeah. Sarah? Okay. We have... she asked what kind of food that we have. A lot of times we have just the tradition, like our American food is available where I'm at anyway. American food, I guess. And so, you know, we get our Subways and we have our Taco Bells and things like that. But then the traditional food is lots of vegetables and fry bread, tortillas, which I think is kind of funny because it's not necessarily that you would think that would be more Spanish, but or Mexican. And lots of mutton, which I really like a lot, and sheep, which is the same thing, goat, and things like that. And so they have different ways of cooking their meats and things like that. They'll eat the whole entire sheep, not just parts of it. So they'll like wrap the sheep's head in foil and just cook it on their grill or whatever. And so that's kind of cool. I don't think that I've had any of it, not that I know of. Because you learn, like once you go, and because I was at it, I've been able to go to a couple of traditional ceremonies, and so you learn like right away. Just don't ask. Just be thankful and eat your food, and you know, usually they're very gracious and they're very, very forgiving, which is very wonderful for me because I'm like, what is this? But I try not to, you know, they're very gracious. So if you make a mistake or something like that, then they're very, you know, quick to forgive, and they're just very gracious, loving people. And so I would share a little bit of a story with you. They have with women, when young girls come of age, they have a traditional ceremony. It's called the Canalda. And what it is, it's like a traditional ceremony to follow one of their creator gods, changing woman. And she basically laid out all the guidelines for Navajos and how they're supposed to live their lives. And she was very, they really want to model their young women off of how she lived her life. And so it can be anywhere from 3 to 4 days ceremony. And during that time, the girl is in traditional clothing and only allowed to eat traditional foods. And you can only enter the house going clockwise. So you have to leave out the back door when you come in the front door. You can't go the other way. And so she has to travel kind of in the same direction the whole day. And that goes for everybody. And, you come and you present gifts and things like that. And so I just thought it was really funny when we were there. Chris and I were able to participate a little bit. They make a cake, and it's a huge cake, depending on how many people are there. Anyway, they dig out a big hole in the ground, and they have a fire, and it's usually been going all day. And they mix up the batter for it. And, oh, my goodness, it was like 4 feet, and then by like 2 feet or 3 feet. And so this cake was huge. So they had different mixes of batter going along and everything. And she had to, Taylor was one of our club girls who the Canalda ceremony was for. And so she starts mixing this cake batter up and everything. And she starts, they have to go with the four directions, because everything in Navajo is male and female. And it's Hojo, which means peace. So everything has to be in harmony. Everything has to be equal. And so that's usually what the medicine man ceremonies are for as well. So when something happens to you, if you're cursed or whatever, he tries to sing in Hojo. He tries to sing in peace into your life. And so anyway, she had one of her great grandmas there or something. Anyway, 98-year-old Navajo woman, doesn't speak a word of English. And she had one aunt on this side and one aunt on this side. And this aunt spoke English. This aunt spoke English and Navajo. And then the grandmother was across the room, and she only spoke Navajo. Well, they all had three different ways of how to do this ceremony. And so she was getting yelled at from the grandmother. And then one of the aunts was trying to translate for her. And then the other aunt was trying to speak in Navajo and English to Taylor. And Taylor's just like, I don't know what to do. And she's just, you can see the panic on her face. And you're not allowed to ask any questions. You just do what you're told. But it's like when you're hearing directions from three different people in two different languages, it makes it very difficult. So anyway, I really felt bad for her, but it was funny. And I wasn't the only one that was laughing, so I figured I was okay. But anybody else have any questions or anything? Yes.
How do you get the kids, the young people, to come to you?
A lot of it is, I was going to make a joke, but then I was like, no, let's not do that. A lot of it is word of mouth. This started back when Chris, she and her husband Randy moved there, and it was just a way for her kids, for her girls to just get, have something to do after school. And so what happened is that she just started this, and her girls invited some people after school to come to this house and to come to their house, and it just kind of grew from there. And so we have a house that we actually do this in. We call it the neighborhood house. And it's all word of mouth. And then a lot of times, all these kids always have brothers and sisters and cousins. And so we usually get brothers and sisters, and then we get cousins. And then so it's grown a lot over the past few years. And that started 8 years ago, I think, 8 or 9 years ago. And so it's all word of mouth. We've hardly had to do any knocking on doors or anything like that. So, and usually every week we have somebody new. Can so-and-so start coming? And we have to give a permission slip and things like that. So it's neat to see that. The kids really love to come. So, yeah. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for letting me come and share with you. And I know that probably all of you saw the display table back there, but I also have my prayer cards and bookmarks and also prayer requests. So if you would like to take any of those, please do. I do need monthly support right now, so if you could please pray about that, I'd really appreciate it. And I can't go back to the field without monthly support. So if you could just really prayerfully consider that, I'd really appreciate it. If you have any questions about that at all, just let me know. And okay. All right. Thanks so much again. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.